Welcome to the Creatively Freelancing Podcast, Episode 1. Today, I'm talking to Stephen, known as Steve Coral, television, film and theatre actor, about becoming a creative freelancer later in life. Advice would you give someone who's over 40 and considers themselves too old to start a career in the arts?
Well, that's a massive question. And I'm going to start by quoting a very famous person who said that aging is an extraordinary process where you become the person you've always should have been. David Bowie that said that.
Interesting.
It is, because when you're doing this type of thing, you're following your dream or you're following your heart or whatever, you have quite sometimes a lot of doubt about what you're doing. Have I made the right choice, et cetera, which we'll no doubt talk about. But if I look back at my own life, so when I was leaving school, 16, 17, I was very, very keen on music. I was in a few school plays and things like that. I really loved what I was doing. Sorry, there's my cat again. And we had a careers evening, and I remember my mum and dad had to fill out a form, and they said, what would you like your son to do? And I went to a typical grammar school, A levels, and they said, like, oh, he needs to go to uni, he needs to get a job in banking or finance or accountancy or whatever like that. What would you not like him to do? We don't want him going into the arts or the acting or following music or anything like that, because there's no future. And that was the set mind. I'm talking about a long time ago, Wendy. I'm talking about, you know, 1970s when I was a lad. And that, through peer pressure, whatnot, you get railroaded into a career and doing the right thing, so to speak. And then you find out in your 30s, 40s, you say, actually, I hate this. And you're in that rut. You're paying the mortgage, you're paying the rent or whatever, you've got the car, you've got the holidays, and you've got commitments, and you can't get out. So if you get a chance to move and follow something you want to do, the first thing I say is, yeah, that's normal to want to do that. Lots of people do that. And actually, my advice was, like, many think, but few do. People think they like to do that. And they say, how do you do that? How did you? Well, you just do it. So you don't, procrastination is the worst, is your worst enemy. So the first piece of advice is just do it. Okay, so make up your mind that you're going to actually do it, because sitting around thinking about it won't happen. But you've got to then, there's practicalities. I mean, you think it's always never too late and all that type of stuff, that's fine. But you've got to be in a comfortable position. I think I'm talking not just financially, but the people around you have got to be happy with that.
Yep.
So one of the first things that you need to check is, are you financially stable enough to be able to do this? That might not make you much money initially or at all. We can talk about that as well. Or are you able to work at the same time, which practical considerations as well. But are the people around you supportive of what you're about to do? It's one of the first sort of considerations. If you're lucky enough to be able to earn and do your creative stuff as well, then great. But you've got to have a particular type of job for that, I think. You know, I mean, I'm quite lucky that 22 years ago, I qualified as a driving instructor, and I'm still a qualified instructor, but I'm able to teach people that want to become driving instructor, maybe one or two days a week. And I can manage my own schedule. I don't have to ask for time off for auditions and stage work or whatever. I can take a couple of months off in the summer or whatever I want to do and pay the bills and do the acting and hopefully get a bit of money from that as well. So you've got to be comfortable, I think. I've seen people advise things like, just go for it, you know, pack in your work, saturate yourself with whatever creative art you want to follow. Because if you don't do that, you'll never do it properly.
What I've found really interesting about what you've said so far is that we're talking about here taking on a career in the creative arts at a later age. What you were saying about mixing your job, your day job, with your creative job could be done, arguably, at a young age as well. So would you say it was easier for someone to do that at a younger age, or when they're a little bit older and a bit more experience behind them?
I don't think the age thing matters that much. It's got its advantages. I think the secret is not to overcommit, and I say this to my two sons, you know, don't overcommit yourself in life. I don't mean in terms of relationships and things, but I mean, if you buy a big house or you want a big, you'll be paying for it, and you'll need to finance it. You know, cut your cloth, I would say. If you're prepared to do that when you're younger, then fine. But the trouble is, the way that we're conditioned is that we must succeed, and succeeding normally means earning lots of money, being comfortable, and then being in that comfortable rut, which you can't get out of. So at a young age, you can decide you don't want that. I mean, my son's 15, my youngest son's 15, and he's going to start following, doing a technical theatre course at school. And then he's hopefully going to, so he's going to follow what he really wants to do. And I've always envied people. I've never been that person from a young age. I want to do that and followed it, you know. So I don't think the age thing matters. And I think when you get older, it's actually a benefit because you've actually got a bit of life experience to bring to the career that you're following.
But then I suppose you've got the disadvantage that it's much more difficult, as you say, you're in a bit of a rut, you're paying for your rent or your mortgage, and you have a certain lifestyle.
It does, but I think things can ease off as you get older as well. I mean, if you're running things down, maybe the kids are getting older, maybe the house is almost paid off, or whatever, the financial, and if you want to do that, you've got to be prepared to accept that there might be cutbacks. you might have a rich partner as well.
That'd be lovely.
A rich and understanding partner. But it's interesting what you say, because you have got this option, of course, of working within what you're doing. I mean, I've met lots of people on film sets that they're doing a run-in job, or maybe they're doing their third assistant director, or whatever, you know, quite low down in the hierarchy. But they've got degrees in this and that. They want to be directors. They want to do well. They're making their own films, but they're working at very low paid jobs within, but at least they can say they're working in the industry. There's the Edinburgh Dungeon that takes on actors, the ghost trips, you know, the bus walking tours. You can do role play, medical role play. You can work as an extra supporting artist. There's loads of jobs at the moment. So you can, I'm working in the industry. I don't want to do this part of it for the rest of my life. I want to be a successful actor, but at least I'm working within the industry and making money. Because when you want to try and act, as we all know, you don't get any money for it.
No, no, indeed. I'd like to go back to what you were saying right at the beginning when you were talking about your parents and what you were encouraged to do at a younger age. A lot of our parents believed that success really was financial success, and that the creative arts wasn't really an industry to get into, wasn't really a worthwhile job. So do you think that goes hand in hand with what you were saying about not doing what it is that you wanted to do at that age? Or do you think that you probably would have gone down the professional route first anyway?
I think that you've got a couple of things there. I think the parents, I mean, my parents grew up in the 50s and 60s where there wasn't any benefits or anything like that. Yeah, my mum and dad, between them, they had about six jobs. And it was that was the key thing, was to be financially comfortable and being able to pay your way. And the work ethic was massive. And I think when they see a child gets the opportunity to be able to, I was reading something the other day. Was it you want a job where you don't have to take your jacket off? I can't remember what that was in. I saw it in a film or something. You want a good job, and a good job means one where you don't have to take your jacket off. And so that's sort of that, you know, a nice office job, son. That's where you want security, comfort, you know, all that type of thing. So that was very much coming from them, I think. Obviously, they want the best for you. I think one of the biggest things is probably peer pressure. Your mate going to uni, your other mates going to uni or whatever, and at school, the school wants results, they want tables to look good and all that type of thing. That's very much the way it is. You know, certainly back then, the creative industry was certainly seen as just something that, you know, people from another planet did, almost, you know, greeny black and white pictures on the telly. Those people did that, we don't do that. And there's still people that think like that now.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to ask you. How much do you think it's changed?
Not a lot. I think it depends. I mean, I think obviously the industry itself is massive now, because you've got all the hundreds of channels and opportunities for actors and makeup people and costume and lighting, and all these people within the industry have got so much, many more opportunities than they had before. But I think generally when people say you're an actor, unless they're actually in it themselves, they look at you like you're some, oh, really? Oh, well, have I seen you on the when are we going to see you? And even the people you know, well, when are we going to see you on Coronation Street? And the things like that. Every actor can tell you that. Then you've got this come up with, well, you know, I've done 40-odd films and stuff, but you probably haven't seen any of them. and they don't get it. You know, I mean, yeah. I've been in bands before and played in, and people are like, when are we going to see you on Top of the Pops and all that? This was a few years ago now, but, you know, when are we going to see you at Wembley? And they just don't get that. How we work in this industry, the fact that it's massive and it's a huge pyramid and millions of people work in it, and most of them are hardly ever heard about. I think that's still roughly the same as it's always been, to be honest with you.
What about in terms of parenting? I know that you obviously you have encouraged your son to do what he wants, what he is passionate about. Do you see that with other parents? Do you think that's more commonplace now than it was?
Yeah, I think also, though, education's geared up a bit more for that now as well. I think, in fact, it might be a little bit too much the other way. It's sort of everybody achieves now. But it's got its good points, because, you know, it can take people's real strengths or weaknesses and match them to hopefully what would be best for them to follow as a career. And I think parents can, any help that they get in that area from schools and things, and they will take that. But I used to be a driving examiner, and I would meet lots of young people on driving tests. I took people out for their driving tests. Mm-hmm. So I've always been a bit of a villain. along with the tax man and the VAT collector. We used to have, you know, go drinking together, you know. And I would take up to sort of 35 different people out for their driving test every week. And most of them were young folk. And you'd get mm-hmm. chatting to them and say, well, so oh, I've got exams. I'm going to do business studies. I'm going to do accountancy. I'm going to, you say, oh, are you interested in that? My mum's an accountant and my dad. And you sort of think, what do you really want to do? You know, yeah. do you want to write a book? You know, and occasionally you meet someone. I met a guy that was 17, and he wanted to be a commercial airline pilot.
Wow.
And he was paying for his own flying lessons. And every time he worked like five shifts or whatever, he would make a couple of hundred quid, and that would buy him a half an hour flying lesson. The dedication was incredible. And I love people like that. And they break away from that norm and they go and do this thing rather than follow the sheep. So, but I think at the end of the day, parents just want what's best. Mm-hmm. And as we said at the start, financial security is often seen as the main goal, but it causes so much upheaval and problems, breakups and all sorts of things. So.
This podcast is for all creative freelancers, not just actors. Mm. But yeah. I think this goes across the board in terms of there is no age limit for a creative freelancer. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. I think obviously 99% of people in the industry are younger people. But then, you know, if you've got maybe a course or whatever, and I know older people that have gone on courses with those 99 young people, they've been that old guy on the course. But the enthusiasm that you bring to that as that older person, outweighs a lot of the, some people are only there just to pass the time or tick a box or whatever, and they don't get it. So you certainly bring, I forgot what the original question was.
you have answered that question. I was going to move on to ask, actually, what about in terms of opportunities for older people? How do you find that?
Talking from an actor's point of view,
I
find, I would say the opportunities are better because you've got a smaller market because of the age. You want sort of a 60 plus guy to play somebody's dad or somebody's villain or a gangster or whatever. I mean, I'm doing two plays this year where I play Dying Old Man,
Right.
So there's an opportunity for me. Yeah. And whereas there's a lot of young folk all competing 20, yeah. 25, 30 year old roles. So you've definitely got an advantage. I think, you know, whether we get onto this or not, but the problem, the main problem I have is geographical, because when you're based in Scotland, you've seen yourself, no doubt, and come across adverts, there's London-based actors only, must be based within the M25 or whatever. It's always been mm-hmm. a big bugbear of mine that you're effectively shut out because of your geographic. And in the day and age where we can get to London within just over 4 hours, you know, or an hour on the plane, it seems incredible that we're still doing that. And there are, obviously, quite a healthy Scottish film industry, but obviously the opportunities are less. I don't think it's much an age thing. I've not, you know, when I've been working, I don't see a lot of older folk in roles like makeup and costume and quite so much.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah. But, yeah. But I have seen older lighting and camera people on bigger productions. So, you know, some people that have been around for you and are really professional and know their stuff. And I think those people have probably been in the industry for a long time. But I don't see why that should be, because actually, in terms of money, crew always get paid. You know, they're very strict pay structures and things. Whereas the actors don't necessarily get any sort of rewards.
I wonder if that goes hand in hand with maybe there are less people at an older age, and I'm surmising here, that have dreamt of working behind the scenes. There are more that dream of working as an actor, as a musician, as an artist.
Good point. I think, you know, certainly when I was going back to my situation when I was 16, 17, and like, you know, messing around with guitars and bands and, you know, going, sort of loving being in the school plays and all that type of stuff, I don't think it would have been an ambition to have been the guy that did the lighting.
Yeah.
Because of the younger sort of energy involved in what you're doing. I think, I wish I could do this all the time, you know. But there will be folk that do want to follow that because they find it interesting, you know, as a sort of behind-the-scenes thing.
If you don't mind me asking, Steve, what age were you when you started taking up acting?
I started doing amateur dramatics at the Barony Theatre. Mm-hmm. And that was, I think that was, is it about 7 years ago? I'm 63 now.
Right, wow.
So,
okay.
What's that?
50, that's mid-50s, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But I didn't decide to try and do it seriously until about 3 years ago, when, you know, I started getting serious with an agent and doing a lot more films and trying to be a bit more selective and trying to promote myself as an actor to sort of climb that sort of greasy pole.
If somebody asked you, what do you do for a living? At what point did that turn when you said actor?
The start of last year, I did a mindset course. I don't do many courses. But this was a sort of a well-being and mindset type thing, and it was precisely that. It was like, you know, setting goals, which were all action-based goals rather than outcome. It was like, you know, I want to be this famous actor. So, well, no, let's set outcomes and achieve those outcomes to get and feel good about those outcomes. And one of them was to reinvent yourself a little bit. Mm-hmm. And get a positive mindset about it. And one of them was instead of saying to people, oh, I do a bit of acting, say, no, I'm an actor. So it was at the start of last year. I know, because the course was over Christmas sort of thing, and it finished January 2023. And so that's what I tell people now, and that's what I am.
And I would have definitely referred to you as an actor before that.
Thank you for that. I think it's probably all down to finances and all that type, because people say, oh, in order to be a professional actor, you've got to make sure that's your main source of income. And, you know, there's people make these rules up and all that type of stuff. Money or no money or whatever, I think it's really got to be in your heart what you believe you are and what, you know, this is your vocation, this is what you do. And so there's no point taking any half measures. So I'm not suggesting you jack everything in and sit there and wait for the house to fall down around you. I think there's some sort of figure, whereas the only actors that make money solely out of acting are the top 2% out of all the actors in the country. Yeah. Everybody's got a day job. Or they call them side hustles or whatever. Everybody needs to pay bills. There was a big revelation about a year ago. So it's like, Coronation Street star caught stacking shelves in B&Q. And it was like, so what? You get £750 a day, I think, for a couple of lines in Coronation Street or something like that. And that's for one day. That's not going to last. You might not get that again for another 2 months. It's hard work. And I think that's what people have got to realize before they come into it. You're not going to suddenly decide to become a jewelry maker or a makeup artist and come out of college and walk into position, going to make a lot of money.
You've told us what age you are. And I know you're physically fit because you run. You've told me you go to the gym regularly as well. Do you think that that's important for an older actor? Or do you think that's a nice to have?
It's important for me because, I don't know, I guess it's a sort of a pride thing. And you see lots of young people in the industry and think, well, I mean, I did the panto in December and I wanted to dance around up and down the stage and prance about and at least look like I was a bit fit. And I'd be disappointed if I couldn't do that. You've got to keep yourself healthy because as you get older, you are more susceptible to aches and pains and other things as well. So healthier you are, then the longer you can do it, I think. And so, absolutely, it's important. But, not to say there's plenty of unfit actors that get jobs, but it's, and I think also it widens your options. Although I can't, so some people say if you can go down on your haunches, like on your bend down on your knees, like you're squatting.
Uh-huh.
All that, maybe you got to get a bit lower. So it's like, my knees won't come down. We'll get you a wee stool, Steve. Oh, thank you very much. There are certain...
There are limits,
Can you reach that? Oh, I don't think so. So, there's obviously limitations. But no, the fitter, the better, I think.
Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about while we've got a bit of time?
It's important to get support around you. Now, I've got a lovely family. Now my wife Sharon and my son Alfie and my other son Ben, they're solid gold, and they take the mickey out of me something rotten. Oh, dad's off prancing around the stage again tonight, and like, are you doing any work today? And I say, I work every day. It is proper work, but deep down, I get that support, and I say, right, I've got a 19 night run in the Fringe, and they say, well, okay, they'll deal with that, but they make me batch cook everything before I leave, make sure they've got meals for the whole, but it's give and take, and you get that support, and you get anybody listening over who's like, I work with my agent, and like, she submitted me for almost 300 jobs last year. Out of that, I probably got about 30 self-tape requests, and out of that, I bagged 2 jobs. So that was a 200 odd rejection rate. So as an actor, I know we're talking about other creative industries as well, but you've got to be able to take that without feeling like an imposter, which is something else we can maybe talk about on a later date. But it's the imposter syndrome that I can't do this, I'm not good enough or whatever. There's thousands of people wanting to do this, and you've got to be able to take rejection. Then you've got to have a good team around you. And there's people always ask me, how are you doing, Steve? What are you working on? I saw you in this last week. I saw you. Oh, that was brilliant. And, they're always interested in what you do. And those are the sort of people that you love. I've got some very close acting, one or two acting friends that we can really talk about how we're all feeling and what. Sometimes you can't talk about that with even your family because they're not in it. One or two really close people that, you share all your worries and stuff with, and they feel the same, and you bounce off each other. That's very, very good. But stay away from negative people. I did a commercial at the end of last year, and it was on the telly and everything, and it was about 3 weeks of, oh, great, say on the telly. And so I'm just saying, oh, maybe next time you'll get speaking role. And I'm like, although saying what I thought.
That stinks of jealousy.
Yeah, but once again, it's people that don't know the industry.
Of course.
Don't know that how much work that took to get that job.
Yeah.
And how much it meant to you.
Yeah.
Beyond the box and to see that and have people congratulate you and stuff and all that. And say, oh, maybe next time. It's get the right people around you and get that support from from friends and family, and they've got to be behind you. You know, I know folk that have gone away and tried to do something, and the partner's just not been happy with it. You know, and it's maybe that's a bit of jealousy as well. For whatever reason, I don't know, but I think if for 1 minute my family weren't with me, I'd probably pack it in, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's really interesting. That's really good advice. And I might take you up on that offer to talk about imposter syndrome, because I think that's another really good topic to talk about. Yeah.
It's very real. And I think it's right across the industry, whatever you do or whatever part of life, whatever what you're doing in life, you can feel that.
I am probably going to hit stop record now. I'm sure we'll speak again soon.
Thanks, been a pleasure, Steve. Wendy. Thank you for inviting me along.
You're very welcome. Nice talking to you.
Yes, you too.
Thank you very much to Steve for chatting to us. If you'd like to get involved, send me a quick email to wendy@wendylapcreative.com. Listen in again next week for episode 2.